is the story, I guess, or what's going on in this game? Because you guys have made a really interesting game that you can't really describe with it's a shooter like this or it's a metric game like that. Can you just tell us what you guys have done with Poppo and Yo?
Yeah, so if I had to categorize it, I would say it's a 3D adventure, a puzzle platformer, but with a deep story. So that's what we've tried to do is, and basically you're playing as a little South American boy called Kiko. And as Kiko, you enter a world of imagination, and you your main goal is to try to cure your best friend, Monster, from his addiction to poisonous frog. So obviously, it's kind of a metaphoric story arc, which is inspired from the real life story of our creative director, Vander Caballero, who suffered from a difficult relationship with his father, who had an addiction. So that's a little bit the overall background of the game.
And as far as game mechanics go, just to get all the stuff out of the way so people have an idea of what this game is, maybe you can walk us through that, because there's a lot of really interesting puzzles. I'm going to let you speak, but I hope you mention the one that I really was just caught in, and it has really just driven my imagination about this game ever since I first saw it. But please, walk us through sort of what puzzles are in this game.
Yeah, so in terms of puzzle, it's really a type of more environmental puzzle where you have to discover what to do, find some magic elements, and then figure out how to actually progress in the game with your friend Monster as well, with which you have to interact. So, for example, there's a few puzzle where, for instance, at the more early stage, earlier puzzle, you encounter different. You have to cross a river. And you see some white chalk line, magic chalk line that looks like a marble game, like a child would have drawn.
Tic-tac-toe on the ground, or what's the one where you skip across the ground? I forget what it's called.
Hopscotch.
Hopscotch, that's it.
Yes, exactly. And then there are some small cardboard boxes.
Oh, so this is the puzzle I was talking about, yes.
Yes. And then, so you kind of left there and wondering how to cross the bridge, because there's no bridge, actually. There's just a river you have to cross over. And then by trial and error, you pick up some cardboard box, and you actually found out that it moves real houses in the world. So by lining them on the white chalk lines, you manage to build a bridge out of real houses that are suspended in the air. Obviously, it's a magical effect out of Kiko's imagination. That's one kind of puzzle. Later on in the game, you'll encounter other puzzles where you have to bind or trigger special magic keys on some houses that make them small wings appear, and they fly to different direction to create part of the world, and then allow you to continue your path. So these are the kind of things. Obviously, there's tons of mechanics in our game. We went in a route where we really wanted to make a lot of mechanics for people to experience.
I may have made a mistake as a host, because I've already seen this game, but I think I've done a poor job of describing it, because I just went and said, well, what puzzles do you have in this game? And I know sort of what the gameplay is, because I've had, you know, hands-on time with the game. So is it just a puzzler? Is that sort of what someone could expect as far as gameplay, or is there more to the game?
Yeah, obviously there's much more to the game. There's obviously a puzzle aspect where kind of the core gameplay of the game is figuring out puzzles to progress while you interact with your friend Monster. So obviously sometimes you'll need to obviously play with Monster, bring him in some areas, and eventually, like, make him trigger something special that will allow you to pass, and something like that. But there is obviously a lot, an heavy story arc that I would say is told throughout the game. You know, not much at the beginning, but you get to understand a little bit more if you pay attention with the different cinematics and the other characters that. That appears throughout the game.
I'm glad you brought up using Monster to solve your puzzles. I was wondering, for the game, really, how much interaction are between the two characters of Kiko and Monster? And is Monster someone you can actually take hold of and use as a character? Or is it just more he follows where you lead him?
No, actually, yeah. One doesn't go without the other. For the most part of the game, you actually can't progress without Monster. It's really a relationship that we wanted to build, obviously, because also it's metaphoric. The monster represents your father, so obviously he is your best friend. But sometimes when he grabs a magical poisonous frog, he becomes in a frenzy, and now he becomes uncontrollable and can hurt you, and that brings another layer of complexity in the puzzles where you have to complete while Monster is angry and uncontrollable. Obviously, you don't play it as a character. The player doesn't play Monster. He's really your friend. So as Kiko, you actually have to make him do some action. For instance, Monster loves coconuts. So if you find some coconuts, you take them with Kiko, suddenly Monster will be attracted to the coconut and wants to follow you, and you can throw it in a certain direction to make him go somewhere. You can also find some soccer balls. You can even play soccer with Monster, just like a real friend. And that's really something we wanted to build and build mechanics for, to develop the relationship with your friend.
And in an environment where basically anything is possible because it lives in this child's imagination, where do you find the line? Like, where, as creators, you know, how did you decide maybe this was pushing it too far, or really was the sky the limit?
I think I would say there's a bit of sky the limit, because that allowed us to really express creativity, imagination. But obviously, it's magical realism that we wanted to really go for, in the sense that it's still a set in a setting that is relatively authentic and accurate. Inspired from South America, favelas, shanty towns. So obviously, pretty much everything you see is kind of has a realistic look to it. But obviously, the more you progress into the game, the more the imagination takes over, because the more intense the actual emotion becomes. So Kiko actually flee more and more into his imagination until the eventual conclusion of the game, which I'll let everyone experience.
Well, it may be a spoiler, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You said it was about his imagination, everything is happening in his imagination, and it starts off in a shanty town. I believe me and Christine saw that part of the gameplay when we tried it a couple months ago. Does his imagination take us to other locations? I'm just wondering about environments specifically. I mean, are we going to be leaving the shanty towns for, I guess the sky's the limit when it's your imagination?
Yeah, I would say the main setting is the shanty town, but obviously it's South American inspired overall. So eventually you'll encounter some more darker areas, some more upscale areas of shanty towns, and obviously some nature like areas. But I would say the main setting is there, but it gets more and more magical and abstract. If I can qualify like that.
And also, I was just wondering, in a world where it's hard to convince somebody to spend money because we're in sort of an economic crisis at the moment, mm-hmm. and everyone is really only happy to spend money on the things they know will succeed, in that sort of environment where you expect your Call of Duty to thrive, where, you know, your BioShocks would thrive because those are known properties, was it hard to convince people to get on board with your project?
Obviously, it's a risk we wanted to take. It's actually Minority is at its core a company that we really want to provide different experience type of games. Ideally, with great emotional stories when we can touch people. So, and it's actually been founded by a group of game developer who had previous experience in other big companies, and that's actually what we wanted to do and to try and provide something that's a unique experience you don't see before. So obviously, when it's new to people, people might be a bit reticent when they don't know, but we think that it's really a must experience.
Well, we definitely both really liked the little bit that we got to see. Have you been really following any of the press and what people are saying about them, or like firsthand experiences that some people have had?
Yeah. Obviously, we've been following really closely what the reviewers are saying, what the people are saying, and so far it seems to be generally favorable, and we're really really happy about it. Obviously, we've noticed there's a few people who have had less of a good experience with it. We're really sad about it. We hope we can collaborate with them and maybe see learn for the next project and maybe see how we can make sure people don't get a bad experience. But overall, we're really happy about the reception. And obviously, as you mentioned before, since it's really a title that's I would say unique and an experience that is unconventional, obviously there might be people who actually, you know, are not necessarily into it, and we totally understand. But we think it will reach and will touch emotionally pretty much everyone who's going to try it.
Well, I follow a few game developers, people who have made, you know, AAA titles this year. On Twitter, they've said that they believe Papo Nioh has more spirit and soul than, you know, the majority of games put out there. So I actually find it a little interesting that there have actually been negative criticisms, I guess, towards Papo and Yo, considering I just sat there and I was completely enveloped in this world and sucked me in so quickly. As someone who may not really have any full idea of this game yet, because I haven't had a chance to play the entire thing, I've been reviewing Darksiders. Christine, you've been reviewing Hybrid, so we really don't have time to pick up every game we want to play right now. So as these people, I'm just kind of wondering, what were those negative comments that people have been making? And maybe you would like to respond to them right now.
Actually, obviously, we're like we, as I can see, is there's been a few of, you know, when I think there's a lot of people that sometimes expect something more conventional, and they're a bit surprised in the sense where it's maybe not a game like you would be used to play, like the Call of Duties, like the big franchise that are really well known. So maybe those people, you know, find themselves a bit in a different zone because we bring them into really different type of emotion set, and that's really was our intention. Obviously, it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but however. We feel it's definitely a type of experience that's worth experiencing if you look like movies like Black Swan or, Pan's Labyrinth. That's really something that was kind of an inspiration, or the game games like Ico. That's really the type of game. So maybe people who don't really like those type of game might not enjoy the experience as much, but people who are into trying something different, a great adventure, no matter if... the story arc is pretty different. I think still pretty much everyone can enjoy the game because I think it has some great gameplay, some great colorful environment. So everyone pretty much can have fun with it.
Yeah, and I think that's something probably really important to say. I mean, both me and Christine played the game and, you know, we didn't get much hands-on time with it, but we could tell that this is obviously not your average game. It's not going to fall in line with the majority of the AAA games out there. But I don't know. Personally, I think it's kind of an interesting game to take a look at. And I do want to get my hands on the puzzle because I really was drawn in and impressed by a lot of the puzzles. You mentioned the one where you can move the boxes and then houses get ripped out of the hill on the other side of the river and form a bridge. That's just sort of the tip of the iceberg as far as the interesting puzzles you can do as far as moving houses and stuff like that. But I can understand how not everybody would like to be, or not like to be, but just simply would not be into that thing, different tastes. After all, so is there like a demo on the PlayStation? This is a PlayStation 3 game. Is there a demo on the PlayStation Network people can get their hands on?
Yeah, absolutely. People can try the game for free with our demo. If they like it, they can buy it. It's on the PSN, available since October 14th. So yeah, definitely they can try it. See if I'm sure they're gonna like it.